Today on Seculo, Israel betrayed. The Biden administration is resuming aid to Palestinians despite pay for slay and the Taylor Force Act. We'll talk about that and more with former Secretary of State and ACLJ team member Mike Pompeo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, we knew something was coming from the State Department on funding to Palestinians. And yes, last night, the State Department announced through Secretary of State Blinken that on April 7th, so just yesterday evening, that the State Department and the United States government under the Biden administration are planning to, quote, restart U.S. economic development and humanitarian assistance for the Palestinian people, stating that it includes $75 million in economic and development assistance in the West Bank and Gaza, $10 million for peace-building programs through USAID, and $150 million in humanitarian assistance for the U.N. Relief Works Agency. That is a total of $235 million. Now, that comes in spite of the fact that the Taylor Force Act, a bipartisan law enacted in 2018, expressly prohibits economic support funds being provided to the Palestinian government. Their workaround here is that they're not directly giving the funds to the government. First, they're giving it to another agency who then ends up giving it to the government, which I'm not sure if that's enough of a workaround, the Taylor Force Act, if that money is knowingly going to the Palestinian government once they receive it at these relief and works agencies and other parts.
If you could get around the law by simply having an intermediary shell, an intermediate company that then gives the aid to the various organizations, that violates, in my view, that would constitute a violation of the law. Now, that's not been litigated, so no one knows for sure. But it was clear what Congress had intended. And what Congress had intended, though, is until the Palestinian Authority changed its methods and programs to discourage pay to slay, that this would not happen. On top of that, Wes, you pointed this out, Colonel Wes Smith, that there is money going to the education programs and the curriculums in these schools still teach about, it's very graphic. I mean, they talk about the blood of Israel running in the streets of Jerusalem.
Absolutely, yeah. Secretary Blinken in the official State Department statement mentioned the fact that he was particularly proud of the fact that some of these funds will go to help educate, he said, over 500,000 Palestinian boys and girls. And yet there is no stipulation with these funds that they change their curriculum, Jay. And that curriculum still calls for the hatred of Jews and for the destruction of Israel. And I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how they get the funds. You know, if you channel funds through a UN agency or through USAID, but it is still going to the Palestinians. I'm not an attorney, but seems to me that's still a violation of the Taylor Force Act.
I want to, you know, Than, you talked about this saying at least violates the spirit of the act, but I mean, this is another shell game by the administration here.
It's clearly a violation of the act, and here's why. The act does provide a path for resumption of funding. It doesn't say if you give it to another account and then they give it to the prohibited use, it's okay. It specifically says, Jay, that to resumption of this funding, the Secretary of the State, in this case Tony Blinken, has to certify a number of things, and two of the things are that the Palestinian government is taking credible acts to end the violence and that they have terminated payments for acts of terrorism. Jay, the State Department specifically acknowledges that they cannot certify according to those things. So look, they can give it to any account that they want. They have not satisfied the merits of the Taylor Force Act, and this funding will be in violation of that act.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at all of this, folks, you put it all together, this is another action. And we've taken action on this, the ACLJ, through our FOIA work. We'll talk about it with Mike Pompeo later in the broadcast, but we want to talk to you about it as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This willingness to, you know, get involved with Iran as quickly as possible, to get hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinians as quickly as possible when they have not changed their policies on pay to slay. It is bad policy being just repeated again, but we're fighting back now. Support the work of the ACLJ, a matching challenge month this month of April. So March and April are so important for the American Center for Law and Justice. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. So again, $75 million in economic and development assistance, $10 million for peace building, $150 million in humanitarian assistance. This is what the Biden administration has announced through Secretary of State Blinken, that they are going to start restoring assistance for the Palestinians. They're proud of this. They are excited about this. They've been looking at doing it. The problem is there is a law on the books that makes it more difficult for them. I mean, someone's got to ask Secretary Blinken, well, do you believe, as the Taylor Force Act requires, that would you certify right now the Palestinian government's terminated payments for acts of terrorism, pay for slay, and is taking credible steps to end acts of violence against Israeli and U.S. citizens? I mean, I don't think he would want to certify that right now. He wouldn't. So instead, they are trying a workaround approach, typical. The question is, when you have a law on the books and you're trying a workaround, is the workaround violating the law? Or is it just a bad policy in the law, or maybe the law needs to be updated?
We're going to find out. First of all, the law, if there's a loophole.
We haven't seen specifically yet.
Yeah, so if there is a loophole, we need to look at what that loophole might be. If there's a, if in other words, Stan, if they're utilizing a funding mechanism to invalidate a duly enacted law that says that the Secretary of State has to certify that the Palestinian Authority and its leadership has certifying that they are no longer engaged in these kind of acts, activities that promote terrorism against Israelis. If there is a now a circumvention of that by just saying, well, we'll give it to USAID, and they'll give it to this group, and then it'll get there, well, then they'll never certify changes. I mean, it defeats the entire purpose of bipartisan legislation to protect our interests, including the United States. By the way, Taylor Force was a U.S. citizen, soldier, student at Vanderbilt. So, you know, this is a U.S. interest that's involved here. And if it's that easy to just get around it, that's a problem.
Yeah, it violates the entire intent of the law. And look, they haven't told us exactly what they're going to do yet. But, Jay, I really strongly suspect this is the Planned Parenthood strategy where you give dollars for a prohibited use by sending it through a permitted account. But look, let's put this in a slightly different light, Jay. If you can't certify that a certain government, any government, is not using dollars to kill your own citizens, Jay, why in the world would you even want to find a workaround? I think that's the question. I mean, even if they technically think they can comply, if they are using money to kill your own citizens, why should you try to find a workaround? Of course you shouldn't.
They don't want to comply. I mean, who are we kidding here? This is where we're living in Fantasy Island. The idea is, so since they're not going to comply, we're not going to give them the money. That was the idea behind the act, Wes.
That is the idea. You know, as the chief executive of the United States, he has taken an oath to enforce law. And rather than enforce this law, it appears his administration is trying to get around the law. We talked about the curriculum that teaches young Palestinian boys and girls to hate Jews and to kill Jews. And that's in their curriculum. We're not stipulating that it changes. We're going to give part of this to education. No wonder that these children grow up as young men and women to attack Jews and Americans, because the pay-to-slay program, which we've talked about, you know, we are actually, in an indirect way, but in a very real way, we will continue to help pay for that program. And yet, Secretary Blinken, I kid you not, with a straight face said, I quote, "These dollars will help support Israeli-Palestinian understanding, and it is in accord with U.S. values and U.S. interests."
Oh, this is just a trying to undo what the Trump administration successfully did, which is a reshaping of the Middle East with new aligned partnerships and peace arrangements and treaties, including the Abraham Accords, between major Muslim-majority countries and the State of Israel, including economic cooperation, military cooperation. That's what they're trying to undo here. And no, and they weren't going to let the previous administration, the Trump administration, did not let the recalcitrance of the Palestinians, their inability to negotiate and unwillingness to negotiate, to stop it. Now, let me tell you what we did. On March 29th, we sent a FOIA letter to the United States Department of State regarding U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority and the Taylor Force Act. Here's what we requested: records pertaining to the U.S. Department of State's knowledge and efforts surrounding the story that the Biden administration is pursuing increasing U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority in spite of the limitations imposed by the Taylor Force Act. That's what we're asking for. I'm sure we'll have to go to court over it, but that process has started. We've not gotten a response yet.
No, and then we've got, this is the State Department spokesperson, Ned Price. He's asked about it directly, and it says, you know, it's going to be consistent with U.S. law. Take a listen by 24.
You asked about how we ensure that this aid is consistent with applicable U.S. law, including the Taylor Force Act. I just want to underscore that all of this aid is absolutely consistent with relevant U.S. law, including those two statutes.
So, I mean, there you go. They believe that they can use this workaround there, that they believe that if they're not directly handing the money to the Palestinian Authority, so if the USAID money goes to some other group and then goes directly to the Palestinian Authority, that's okay to them. I think that's where they could get into some trouble, is that if they knowingly give this money over to an agency or group that then is going to give the money to the Palestinian Authority directly, that's what we have to find out. What of this money is going to the Palestinian Authority directly? Because if any of it is, it does violate very clearly the Taylor Force Act, and thus it's illegal.
Jordan, I'm not sure Ned Price and Tony Blinken have actually read the statute, because their excuse, or at least their purported excuse for what makes this compliant, has literally nothing to do with the text of the Taylor Force Act. We already talked about this, but if that funding, Jay, even if it indirectly ends up with the Palestinian Authority, if it is not accompanied by that certification from Tony Blinken that pay for slay is over, and, Jordan, that the Palestinian government is taking credible steps to end the violence, then it is in violation. That's the follow-up that needs to happen. And I'll just tell you this, Jordan, that is one of the very reasons that we filed this FOIA request. We want to know who inside the State Department had this conversation when they looked at the Taylor Force Act and somehow came up with the conclusion that this was in compliance with the law. Because quite clearly, Jordan, all you got to do is read the statute. It doesn't comply.
So our office compiled a brief memorandum on this morning. And let me just read two paragraphs because I think it's irrelevant. It seems that the Biden administration is attempting to circumvent the Taylor Force Act through indirectly providing economic support funds and assistance to the Palestinian Authority. So, in other words, they're using these various entities to get around it. However, even if these funds are funneled through what are called humanitarian accounts, they remain in violation of U.S. law unless accompanied by the certification we've been talking about from the Secretary of State that the Palestinian Authority has, in fact, ended its pay-for-slay program, which they have not. And have no intent on doing, is my gather. They'd also have to take real steps to condemn and reverse violence. Senator Tom Cotton has said the resumption of any U.S. foreign aid and foreign assistance that indirectly funds the Palestinian Authority's pay-for-slay terrorist program would violate U.S. law, betray our Israeli partners, and put Americans living in or visiting Israel in harm's way. The truth of the matter is, Colonel Smith, that there is no desire on behalf of the Palestinian Authority to do away with this pay to slay program. Mm. They still fund it. They've been funding it while we cut their funding out. They still funded it.
Yeah, a couple of years ago when President Trump withdrew $300 million worth of aid to the Palestinians unless they would renounce it, they immediately issued a statement the next day, and they were very clear, we will not stop this program, and they basically told us that we could keep our money. I think we should still keep it. The Palestinians also, Jay, they do not want a two-state solution. They have rejected it numerous times. This is why the Arab states in the area have grown tired of this, and they are aligning with Israel.
Yes.
You know, and what I wonder now is if some of these same Gulf states and Arab nations, if they're also aligning with Israel because they see the United States as an unreliable ally because every 4 years we change political leadership. And so they still appear to be aligning with Israel in spite of the vacillation on our own State Department.
Yeah, but Jordan, there is a law here. So this should transcend administrations.
There's a law in place to bar this funding. I'm not sure that by giving it to one agency, and that agency then handing it over to the Palestinian Authority, even if one dime goes to the Palestinian Authority, then that law is violated. And if they know that's going to happen, I think you're violating the law. Because if you know that the money is going to end up in the Palestinian Authority's hands, or some of it will, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars here, then you know that you're violating the law. You are intentionally violating the law because you know that the money is getting, it is a workaround. So they're going to have to explain, you know, is this money all going to be distributed by the UN directly to Palestinian Authority run schools? Well, then there you go. Law violated. So I think that's where you have to look at is that secondary action, which here isn't hard to figure out. It's not like there's hundreds of different things going on here. There's a massive chunk going to the UN. The UN is going to be distributing those funds, which is scary enough to think about. And then many of those funds, I think, will get to the Palestinian Authority directly. That's where the law is violated. That's where action could be taken by Congress. And I'm waiting to see Republicans in Congress and those who were bipartisan supported the Taylor Force Act. If they actually wanted it to mean anything, this is the time for them to start standing up in a bipartisan way and saying, no, you can't do this because you are violating the purpose of this law, and you're doing so in an intentional way. You know how you're violating it because you know this money eventually gets to the Palestinian Authority. And I don't think it's that many hands. Mm. I think it's one hand. I think you give it to the UN, the UN's going to give a significant portion over to the Palestinian Authority directly at some point. So, I mean, it's a one degree of connection. Support our work. Mike Pompeo coming up next on Seculo. We've got our matching challenge in the month of April. Double the impact your donation at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Seculo, our senior counsel for global affairs, joining us now, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Hey, Mike, it's Jay. I want to start with something we were just talking about, if we could, and that is the Biden administration has decided to reinstate economic support to the Palestinian Authority, ignoring basically the Taylor Force Act, which would require your predecessor to your successor, rather, to certify that these funds are not going to be used for the pay-to-slay programs or violence and terrorism. Some of this money is going to the West Bank and to Gaza. Gaza, of course, controlled by Hamas. What's your reaction to that move by the administration?
You know, Jay, it just shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the work that led to the Abraham Accords. It will be very difficult, I think, to certify that funds going to the Palestinian Authority aren't going to end up in the hands of bad actors in violation of the Taylor Force Act. And, so more than illegal, it's immoral to underwrite what the Palestinian Authority is doing, to support a regime that continues to pay people to commit these heinous acts all across the Middle East is outrageous. The American people are rightly disturbed by this, and I'm glad that the ACLJ is working so hard. Now more than ever, these are the kinds of things I think we'll see happen, and we need to put pressure on the Biden administration to stop underwriting the Palestinian Authority. It will upset the central dealings that we delivered, the peaceful accords that we delivered throughout the Middle East.
You know, I was thinking about that. All that success in your administration on reshaping the Middle East and all the new relationships that have been formalized, I still think those will continue. We got to fight to make sure they continue, but it kind of tells you where the new administration is. I want to switch to the ICC issue, the International Criminal Court. Now, you know, I've had I'm one of the few American lawyers that have actually appeared before the ICC. I've done it twice, and most recently in the Grand Chamber. And that was over the United States trying to be hauled before the ICC. Well, now the ICC is going after Israel. The Israelis, interestingly, Secretary Pompeo said yesterday that they have decided that their response is going to be, you have no jurisdiction over us, which is correct. They had thought about not responding at all, but I think they're going to send a formal letter. We have already sent legal documents in saying that not only is there no jurisdiction, but that the Israeli military justice system is a complementary system. It's a sufficient system. If there was to be any kind of wrongdoing by in the military, they have the capabilities of examining that themselves. What do you think? You know, I know what your view of the ICC is, but I think it's important for our audience to understand that this tribunal is trying to get their hands around individuals, including American soldiers and Israeli soldiers. It's the individuals, not just the states, not the states, actually.
Jay, this won't be limited to the Israelis. The administration has undone now the work that we did to sanction this woman. Her name's Fatou Bensouda. You know her well.
Yep.
This is a corrupt actor. She has behaved in ways that are inconsistent with her obligations under the rules of the ICC. We tried to convince the ICC that she shouldn't be in charge of these prosecutions that she's planning against not only Israelis, but against young American soldiers who were serving in Afghanistan in the aftermath of 9/11. She is determined to go after these people, these kids, these wonderful American soldiers who were doing the Lord's work to create the appropriate deterrence against Al-Qaeda, and yet she wants to pursue them. The American system, the Israeli system are both complementary. This is outrageous. I regret that the Israelis are having to do this. I know that you've been central to helping defend all of these individuals against the threat that this rogue court, I hate to hesitate to even call this rogue body in The Hague, has now become.
Well, you know, it's very personal to us because we've got team members at our international offices, and Wes, you know this, Colonel Smith, that could be subject to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this puts American soldiers literally around the world at risk, particularly in Afghanistan and Iraq, and of course does the same thing for Israeli soldiers.
Yeah. It's unreal, Jordan.
Yeah, well, no, but this ties into the what we're seeing, Secretary Pompeo, with the new shuttle diplomacy that the Biden administration is so excited about with Iran. They're excited that in Vienna that Iran will even send messages back and forth between European countries and the United States, and that they're praising this as a big step forward. I mean, this is, again, to me, it seems like they will just do anything. And the Iranians are kind of like, yeah, we're kind of doing this, but they're certainly not It's weird to me, Secretary Pompeo. It's the Biden administration that seems so excited about it, not the Iranians. You think they'd be the ones who were excited about maybe getting sanctions lifted, but it's the Biden administration rushing back.
The Iranians are in no hurry. They know that the longer they wait, the more this administration will give them. It's simple math for them. This administration will stop at almost nothing. It won't be pallets of cash this time, I suspect. It'll be worse. It'll be billions of dollars in wealth creation for the Iranian regime in exchange for going back into an outdated agreement that was flawed from its inception, that was predicated on the fact that they declared all their nuclear materials. We know that's not true. There were two secret side deals Senator Cotton and I found. The Israelis uncovered a set of archives. The entire predicate of the agreement was based upon a lie. It is remarkable to see this article of faith almost from the Biden administration to just desperately cling to go back into this deal that guarantees a patient pathway for a nuclear program for the Iranians.
Yeah, and then we have the Chinese government, the Communist Party there, deciding that they are going to engage the Middle East in a way they haven't before. There was a $400 billion deal with Iran, and China's clearly kind of trying to triangulate the United States in that region. But China really does represent a multi-level threat here. I mean, it's not just a threat to destabilize the Middle East region by propping up the Iranians, but it also has direct involvement in our engagement in the Middle East, because we could find ourselves in at least policy opposition strongly, we will, against the Chinese government.
It's so true, Jay. It's interesting to watch the Chinese applaud the Biden administration caving to the Iranians. Don't forget, one of the central provisions of the JCPOA was a provision that prevented conventional arms sales from Iran and Iranian arms sales from Iran as well. That's expired already. That was a five-year deal. It's over. It started in 2016. It's now 2021. It expired in September of last year. The Chinese can now sell weapons, and they will. They'll sell weapons to the Iranians. The Iranians will transport oil to them in exchange for that. This is not good for the Middle East. It's terrible for our friend and ally Israel, and it creates real risk for the United States of America as well.
One quick question, and that is this. The situation with China is not just, of course, in the Middle East. There's other engagement points, and we only got a minute left here. Is this Chinese threat, the way it's being at least handled so far by the Biden administration, creating more difficulties for the United States and for our citizens?
Jay, so far the rhetoric has been okay. They've talked about being tough on China, but every action that they have taken today suggests that they're not going to do that. This threat from the Chinese Communist Party is real. It is on so many fronts. We could spend a lot of time talking about it. We need to counter it in every one of them, whether it's in space or satellites or information warfare, technology, all of those fronts. We have to counter them. I hope the Biden administration will follow through on the promises he made during his campaign and actually protect the United States and secure our freedoms from the Chinese Communist Party.
We're working, Mike, just so you know, and you'll see drafts of this soon. We are working on a comprehensive piece on China right now that I'm sure we will look forward to your input on. That's been worked on by our senior team, policy team. So we'll have that. We appreciate you being with us as always. Thank you,
Jay. Thank you, Jordan. So long, Les.
All right,
folks. We are going to be taking your phone call. Second half hour's coming up. So what are your thoughts on this move by the State Department to fund the Palestinian Authority again, to reopen those funds, begging the Iranians?
With our taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, with your taxpayer dollars. So we want your thoughts, your questions. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge, why we have people like Mike Pompeo, Rick Rennell on our team, because of your support for the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow, our second half hour coming up now. I want to encourage you to call in at 1-800-684-3110 because I want your thoughts, especially those of you who may have served in the military too, that the fact that the Biden administration just puts out basically a press statement from Secretary Blinken saying, we're going to resume aid to the Palestinians. We're going to comply with all the existing U.S. law. And they basically lay out how they think, and I mean, I don't think I'm putting words in their mouth. It's how they think they're working around the Taylor Force Act, which prohibits funding to the Palestinian Authority. And if they believed what they believed, which was that these workarounds were available because you could go through other agencies, I don't know why they had to make such a big deal about this. Why do they feel like they need to start defending it immediately if this is something they wanted to do, they don't feel like their supporters are going to be upset about? I feel like they had to proactively, I'll go to Than Bennett on this right away, but Than, I think they felt like they had to proactively kind of respond to the question. That's why they had to do this statement in the first place, because people say, wait, I thought we passed a law, members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, that say you can't do this until you come to us and tell us that everything is okay, and that has certainly not happened yet.
I totally agree with you, Jordan. If this complied with U.S. law, they wouldn't have made any statement about it at all. But look, saying that the funding is consistent with U.S. law does not make it so, Jordan. And, you know, we can argue about this all day long, and I think it probably will be litigated. I think they're clearly on the wrong side of the issue. But I come back to the motive. I mean, I want people to really think about this. Take the names off of the nations or the states or the people involved, and just imagine that U.S. taxpayers are funding an entity or a government that has a program that pays hundreds of millions of dollars to slaughter Israeli citizens and American citizens. Jordan, no matter what the U.S. law said, I think the U.S. law is on our side here, but even if it wasn't, why in the world would you want to fund that entity? Why in the world would you even want to find a workaround? That's the question that I don't think they can answer.
And listen, they think it's highly technical. This is Ned Price again, State Department spokesperson. He kept getting pressed on the Taylor Force Act. Take a listen, Byte 26.
You asked about this fairly technical issue as to how we ensure that this aid is consistent with the Taylor Force Act.
Well,
But
I would not say that that's fairly technical.
No. Well, I'm getting to a technical point.
You're breaking the law or you're following the law.
Well, you're right. It is very clear. We are following the law. Everything we are doing here is quite consistent with it, scrupulously so.
Okay, so look.
I don't know how he got from saying that was highly technical to, no problem. We're very clear. We're not. Everything's good here.
So the United States says, it issues an announcement, Harry. It says it's pleased to announce that working with Congress, really? Working with Congress, we plan to restart U.S. economic development and humanitarian assistance for the Palestinian people. No certification from the Secretary of State of compliance.
Absolutely not. So the United States State Department is committed to global elitism. The State Department is filled with individuals who are skilled as what? They're skilled in duplicity. They're not skilled in telling the truth. They're not skilled in complying with the law. So I think the questioner in that clip that you played, Jordan, was precisely on point. Is the United States in compliance or are they not in compliance? I think the answer is clear if you look at the Taylor Force Act, which requires that the State Department certify that the Palestinian Authority has terminated its pay-to-slay policy and its support for terror. Neither of those things are true, and they haven't been true since the Taylor Force Act was passed. Nonetheless, we have an administration which lives in the land of make-believe. They continue to defy the facts that are on the ground.
And Than, quickly, you said that they've told Congress they can't certify compliance?
According to the Washington Free Beacon, they've told Congress behind the scenes that they know the Palestinians aren't in compliance. And either way, Jordan, they haven't certified it.
Right.
Why would you do this?
I think it's just this is part of their agenda. They want to go back to the Iranian nuclear deal. They want to start, again, sipping tea with the UN members, and to sip tea with the UN members, you got to fund the Palestinians and their terror, or else you don't get to go to the tea party. We'll be right back on Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to get to the first call of the day. If you want to talk to us again, it's 1-800-684-3110. Jim in Michigan on line one. Hey, Jim.
Hey. Just want to say thank you, Jay and Jordan, for getting my call through. I do a monthly donation to you guys.
Thanks.
And did the matching thing, too, because
that.
I believe... Yeah, and I just appreciate your content. But
Thanks. Basically,
I'm calling because it's so frustrating that a lot of the things that the Biden administration and others have been doing since before the election, with the election changes that they did, they're totally going against what you guys are saying is obvious legal issues, breaking laws in obvious ways. So for me, you know, I'm disappointed that someone isn't actually bringing them to accountability.
But don't be disappointed, Jim, because we are. It's a process, though. So we have filed with the United States Department of State. I'm holding it in my hand. The first FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, on exactly this, which is a FOIA request to the U.S. Department of State regarding U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority and the implications of the Taylor Force Act. Now, we're going to have to litigate that, I suspect. They're not going to give us that information. Once that information becomes public, then if there's a violation of the law, there are ways to challenge what has happened. So, well, first we got to find out what exactly happened. So we are on that already. Our Government Oversight Project is the largest it has ever been in the ACLJ's history, because it sounds like you listen to this broadcast regularly. Pretty much every day or so, we're adding a new case, a new file. So that's ongoing right now. So I just want to let you know that. Let me change gears for a second here, because I want to hit this immigration issue. Because this is, Harry, these numbers are staggering. I want to read this to everybody. The number of migrants encountered at the U.S. border in March, just March, was the most in 15 years. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection apprehended 172,000 people. This, by the way, are the records from the Biden administration. Included 19,000 children and teenagers traveling without a parent. That doubles the level from February and the most ever in a single month. The overall surge in March, a 71% spike over February's figures, illustrates the scope of the challenge that the Biden administration is facing, but yet the person in charge of this, the vice president, has had time to travel to Chicago to visit a vaccine site and to go to California, but not to the border that she's in charge of the policy of.
Absolutely. So in 1838, Abraham Lincoln said, "If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide." I think it is clear beyond question that there are officials within the Biden administration that prefer suicide to enforcement of the law, to enforcement of national security, and to ensuring that the United States remains a republic. If you look at the numbers, the number of migrants is exploding. Child sex abuse is rising. And we are incentivizing drug trafficking and drug cartels. Yet, Biden officials, starting with Vice President Harris, and including the DHS secretary, prefer to ignore the real problem. The real problem at the end of the day is that the Biden administration has reversed Trump-era policies that were working, and then the Biden administration not only reversed these policies, they didn't have a plan to deal with the flood of migrants who were coming across or planning to come across the border. So this is a very unintelligent policy by an increasingly unintelligent administration.
I'm holding in our hand another legal document dated April 7th, 2021, to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to the United States Customs and Border Protection, to the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services from your American Center for Law and Justice. This is what it's regarding, pursuant to the document. This is the FOIA document, the FOIA letter. FOIA request to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Customs, Immigration, and Citizenship and Immigration Services regarding records of the handling of the border crisis related to threats or crime, the cancellation or postponement of Operation Talon, and the arrest of persons on the FBI's terrorism watch list and the do not fly list. That is already been sent, I say already, just 2 days ago, by the American Center for Law and Justice to Jordan, to those government agencies. We're taking action on this immediately.
Yeah, right. This is a massive crisis. And I mean, just to put this in perspective, 15 days ago, Vice President Harris was put in charge of the border. And she's supposed to be handling, you know, the diplomatic activities. She's been on the phone with the president of Mexico. She's made trips, cross-country trips, back home to her home in Northern California. She's also made trips to the Midwest on COVID, but she's made no trips to the border. Not even to look at the facilities where you've got this massive rise, 19,000 children a month, 172,000 people in a month. These are the biggest numbers ever before in history. And yet the person running this for the federal government has not yet even seen these facilities, has not been to the border as vice president. Take a listen, because Jen Psaki got pushed on this very aggressively. She's got time to stop for snacks in Chicago, just not time to take the vice president's plane and head to the border and see what's going on. Take a listen.
She was traveling this week, took time to visit a bakery in Chicago. I'm wondering, is she still working on this? And can you address the perception that she's kind of quietly backing off while Secretary Mayorkas is pursuing some Trump-era policies, such as potentially building new border barriers and potentially prosecuting people who illegally cross multiple times?
There's a whole lot packed in there. So let me just see what I can do here. First, I would say, the vice president was visiting Chicago actually to talk about COVID and the importance of communities getting the vaccine when it's available and accessible to them. And so while she was there, like many Americans, she got a snack. I think she's allowed to do that.
I mean, I want you to think about what this woman just said, Jen Psaki just said. While there, she was allowed to get a snack. Everything is a joke. Everything is a comedy. Everything is hypothetical. And there's no policy. But the real policy here is that there's a crisis on our border that's expanding by the hour. They're flying kids and others to Newark today with no ID, no identification, except a letter from DHS. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, Jay, when people act like they don't care, it's not an act. And, you know, this is a grave, serious situation on the border. And yet just yesterday, this was on the media today, Nancy Pelosi, when questioned about the border crisis, said, "We are in a good place on the border under the leadership of Joe Biden." They either seriously are delusional or they absolutely don't care. And I hate to be jaded, but more and more I'm thinking they don't care.
The ramifications, Harry, are so significant on this, though.
I think
not just the border states, they're flying them all over.
Absolutely. So the Biden administration is failing to take the border crisis seriously. They refuse to admit what is open and obvious to every single American, that there is indeed a border crisis, that there's a surge of migrants. And so while Jen Psaki is joking about going to the bakery, children are apparently being sexually molested in a San Antonio detention facility. And guess what? The Biden administration is refusing permission to the state of Texas to investigate these allegations. So at the end of the day, what are we elevating? We are elevating Vice President Harris's ability to go shopping in a bakery while Rome burns. Mm.
Jordan.
Well, I just think it's she got tasked with this assignment. First thing you would usually do, Than, is you would go down.
Ministry of Presence.
And you would see what was actually happening so that you could report back and say, this is good, this is bad, we need to do this, we need to do that. I don't think she wants to see the kids in cages and own that. So I think she's going to stay away from that as long as possible.
Jordan, children are being trafficked in. They're being trafficked in, and then they're being recycled. That's what they call it. They call it recycling, sent back over the border and brought in again as a free ticket to the United States. This is not Republican, Democrat, or independent. Jordan, it's a humanitarian crisis, and there's a solution to it, by the way. There's a bill that would require DNA testing at the border when a minor is involved. Not a single Democrat is on that. You know who could get Democrats on that bill and get it enacted? The Vice President of the United States. She needs to do it.
Well, I think, folks, again, we've got another segment coming up. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We'll get to you, Richard, right out when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air about the immigration situation, too. Why do you believe Vice President Harris is so afraid of just going to the border to be there, to see it for herself as Vice President, as the person tasked with leading this effort? Give us a call. Why is she afraid? She's obviously afraid. 1-800-684-3110. Remember, our matching challenge, support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today.
You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Richard in California first. Hey, Richard, you're on the air.
God's blessings to you guys, and I love your program.
Thanks.
And I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing. This whole thing is driving me crazy. I'm an older gentleman. I'm a Vietnam vet and all that stuff, and I love this country, and I hate seeing this country self-destruct with the people that we have in there. I don't think any of them know what they're doing. There is no common sense. I believe that Biden's a puppet. And he's got, you know, there's been sound bites where they've caught him asking what he's signing. He doesn't even know what he's signing. So how can we expect this person to run this country? We've got teachers in San Diego volunteering to teach these illegals, and they're not even being tested for COVID. Our kids can't go back to school, and this is just... It's driving me crazy.
Richard, first of all, thank you for your service to the country. And you're 100%, there's nothing you said that any of us would disagree with. I mean, the whole situation is the fact that she doesn't go down there, number one. Number two, that they're talking about filling in the gaps, i.e. building the wall. Number three, they're flying people all over the country now to get them into communities without knowing who these people are. Number four, kids being dropped 14 feet over walls. This is a policy, Harry, of chaos.
Absolutely. And so at the apex, at the very top of the pyramid, in leading this effort to stop the surge, we have the Vice President of the United States, who is engaged in what? A Marie Antoinette Act. She is essentially saying to the American people and to the migrants who are in these terrible facilities, please have some more cake. This is an absurd policy. It is a policy which is created, in my judgment, by individuals who need to spend less time in the loony bin.
You know, we asked you to, why do you think that Vice President Harris doesn't want to go? Is it because she doesn't want to be seen with the kids in the cages for political purposes? But Diana has a different idea too, in Indiana online too. I don't think there's a wrong answer here, by the way. If you've got thoughts on this, 1-800-684-3110. It's a head scratcher that they can't even figure out how to do an event down there, Diana. But welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I believe that it's twofold, really. One is that she is that she truly doesn't care, which I think is reflective of the entire administration. And two, that she is way too incompetent to handle this situation.
Well, I think that listen, we talked about the don't care. It's a political issue to them. There's some aspect of that. I do think, though, it's that. So she doesn't want to be bothered with it, even though she was tasked with the job. But the second thing is, it's horrendous because it goes against their narrative. The imagery will be bad.
They don't want to own it.
No, because the imagery will be
bad. She certainly doesn't want to own it.
No, and I think that Biden passed off to her. She has a longer, of course, political career likely than him.
Yeah.
And she wants nothing to do with it. I mean, the reporters are actually asking, is she even still being tasked with this?
So, Than, what is the sense on Capitol Hill? I know they're in recess now, but what's the sense on Capitol Hill on this?
You know, Jay, honestly, the sense is not that it's incompetence. I think the sense is that it's deliberate. I mean, I think these are smart people generally that actually this is their policy. The policy is non-enforcement. And I think, honestly, Jay, I think the evidence of that is what we talked about earlier in the week where they scrubbed the website of that announcement that two terrorists had crossed the border. I mean, Jay, I think they know what they're doing. I think they're doing it intentionally, but they're just trying to hide it from the American people. So I honestly tell you, I think in D.C., I think giving them the pass of incompetence, I think that's going too easy, Jay. I think they're doing it with eyes wide open.
But I don't understand how you evaluate a situation and you show command and control, military talk, mm-hmm. when you're not there.
Yeah, you can't. You absolutely cannot. And for lay politics aside, lay their hatred of Donald Trump aside, what would help ameliorate this situation? There are some things they could do, but because they were Trump policies, they refused to do them. They could reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy, which would help. They are talking about building the wall, which I think is wonderfully ironic. They could also stop catch and release and do what the Trump administration, all these children coming through, Jay, what the Trump administration did, they endeavored to fly them back to Central America and reunite them with their families. Even that would help. Right now, it is getting worse and worse, and it is a moral and a humanitarian issue.
By the way, Wes Smith has got a brand new article up on ACLJ.org. It should be up by now, and it's on the Iran nuclear deal. It's called "The Iran Nuclear Deal Is Not a Deal. Why Distrust is Necessary." Everybody, we're going to get that out on all of our platforms. You need to do it. We've got another calls coming in. Let's go ahead and try to grab a couple of those, Jordan.
Yeah, actually, let's go to Bill in Wyoming first. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've got two things to say. Number one, I think they're up there to just have the position so they can do whatever they want to without having to face any consequences. There is an upside to this. When I got some of the stimulus money from Biden, I went ahead and decided to stimulate some of your work, and I sent
you some. Well, we appreciate that.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I like that. Again, for those of you who are in a situation where you could do that, I think it's a great idea. But I think Bill, you know, is right that they get there, they think they can pick and choose issues, but that's not what happens when you're president, vice president. Senators, sometimes you can, yes, you'll have to weigh in on a lot, but you don't have to own everything. They kind of decide. And that's what she's used to. That's what Biden's used to. And as vice president under Obama, he was certainly taking a backseat role to someone who was much more prominent. Now that he's in the front seat, though, the buck stops with them on everything, on every issue. And that includes the sovereignty of the United States and what's happening in our border. I think that's the biggest problem. Let's take final call of the day. Gloria in Ohio online, too. Hey, Gloria.
Hello. Thank you for my call. And I just wanted to make a comment that I believe that the vice president is afraid to go to the border because of past comments she has made about the Border Patrol.
I think you're right about her comments about the Border Patrol, and you're right about the comments about border security. This is cutting totally against Harry, their narrative on how to handle this immigration crisis. And she, as Jordan said, she just doesn't want to own it.
Absolutely. So I think Vice President Harris has said many critical things about the Trump administration. Now it's on her watch. And then the question becomes, what can she do to reverse it? Well, there's an old saying that says that when you're in a hole, stop digging. The Biden administration prefers at the moment to keep digging and try to ignore the problem when the migrant crisis is actually being fueled by incentives. And one of the incentives, or one of the sources of incentives, is simply the fact that the Biden administration has, generally speaking, reversed virtually every single Trump-era policy that was working, not only with respect to the border, but also with respect to, for instance, the Palestinians and the Iranians. They just hate President Trump so much, they actually have blinded themselves to a solution to the problem, and it's time for them to open their own eyes.
So we're going to continue this fight.
We're taking action.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to just stand by and talk about this. We take action on these issues. We take action on the issues involving the funding to the Palestinian Authority that we were talking about earlier, broadcast and the Taylor Force Act, and making sure the Biden administration is not violating existing U.S. law, which it really does appear that they are. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact, your donation. It's a matching challenge month, both March and April. So April also critical to the ACLJ financially. Double the impact, your donation. Donate online today at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.